continuously shower his blessings on us and not to deny us and not to deprive us. At this point in time, we are seated here. It is also a blessing of Allah that we are having this opportunity of learning about our trip to the holy places. And inshallah, if we get there and when we get there, we can also be from among the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. And this is such a blessing that it does not happen anytime. It does not happen every time. And Allah chooses whomsoever He wants to. This trip to the holy places is not dependent on what is your position or what is your financial position, or even if you own your own jet. It will only be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you. So when the call is there, then we go. So we are going as a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going to a very, 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 very sacred and a pious and a holy place. We are not going to Paris, we are not going to New York, we are not going to Houston. We are going to Medina and to Mecca. These two places have got their own specific and special sacredness. And from the time we leave from here, we must keep that in front of us. And when we have the sacredness and the holiness of the journey and of the place in front of us, we will be able to fulfill the rites for that particular journey. We will be able to do what we are supposed to do in the correct way. Because if a person is in those places and he still does not show the due respect to it, the fear is that the person then he went. So we can't go into the king's palace and then go and do all wrong things there. The king has called us, it's the King Salman, who talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called us to his house, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called us to his place, his masjid, by the command of Allah, obviously. Not that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself called us, but Allah ta'ala afforded us the opportunity of being there. So therefore, this being the case, we must keep that in mind, that we will observe all the protocols, all the rules, all the regulations that are, that go with that. But before I go the actual journey, just two or three important points or hadiths on the virtues of Mecca and of Medina. There are lots and lots and lots of virtues. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned with regard to Mecca, that the best and the most beloved city on the face of the earth in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Mecca. So we are going to the most beloved and the best city, that is Mecca. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the earth was rolled out from Mecca. Allah stretched the earth from underneath it. Meaning what? That when Allah ta'ala created this world, this earth as we know it, there was a starting point, everything got a starting point, the seed. So the seed, from the seed everything starts growing, you know, the stem and the trunk and everything else that might be. So it was Mecca. Everything spread out from Mecca. So we're going to the source and the origin of the creation of this earth. Then afterwards human beings came about here on this earth. So that's why Mecca is called Ummul Qura. Mecca is called the mother of all cities. Because everything else was originated from there. And one more important hadith, and this you must keep in mind. Every pious deed that has been performed in Mecca is multiplied to 100,000 times. So you read one namaz, before you start reading the namaz, don't just think it's one reward, it is 100,000. When you finish reading your namaz, think I have just read 100,000 namazes. So you read a faraz namaz there, 100,000 faraz namazes. If you read a nafil namaz there, it's 100,000. If you make one time subhanallah, it's 100,000. If you give one riyal in charity, it's 100,000. That's for Mecca. Subhanallah. And there are other narrations give higher and lower also, but this is one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ta'ala does not run short. This 100,000 is not a fixed amount. 100,000 is for us to understand. Allah ta'ala don't look at numbers. Allah is the ghayr al-hisab. 100,000 is fast one. And now we go to Medina. I can tell you many other things about Mecca, but we are going to keep the lesson brief. We are going to just discuss some of the virtues of Medina. So keep in mind when you are in Mecca, and just like how he said the rewards are great, the sun also is great. So people like to make ghibat in Mecca. So you must make one ghibat, you've got 100,000 ghibats chopped up for you, just like that. Speak bad about somebody, make a joke about somebody in a bad way, humiliate somebody, 100,000 humiliations also recorded for us. So we can decide When we go there, we want to multiply our reward, or we want to multiply our sins. Any sin that is done, they also multiply like that. Allah has mercy on us. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Salah in this masjid of mine, now we are in Medina, is 1,000 times better than any other Salah. So that is the reward of Medina Munawwara. Also again, I mentioned there are other narrations that give a figure and higher figure, but that's just for us to understand. Another one, this is important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever visits my qabr, my intercession for him becomes wajib, guaranteed. On the day of Qiyamah, we have no idea where we will be, and if somebody comes and helps us out and sorts us out, then how happy won't we be? In this world, if we are in some problem, and they say, you know, that lawyer was very good, he just comes from out of blue in the court case, you're in a big trouble, and he just says something to the judge and sorts you out, how happy won't you be? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come and intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah. One of the ways of justifying and being entitled and receiving the intercession is to visit the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, one more hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever visits me after my demise is like the one who has visited me while I was alive. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive in his grave, that's the naqidah of ours. He's alive in his grave, he's got a superior form of life, that's the first thing. Only his life is now in another realm, that's the first thing. And we are not now physically meeting him like how the Sahaba met him. But if we go to Medina, then it will be the same like how someone physically met him. That's why when you are standing in front of the Qabr or you are sitting there, remember you are sitting in the company and you are standing in front of someone who is very, very alive. In fact, his life is a very superior life in the Qabr. So these are some of the virtues. The reward is much, much more greater. Now when we go for Umrah, I don't know how you go first to Medina, Iqbal.
First to Makkah.
You go first to Makkah. How are
you, bye?
We go to Medina. You go to Medina. What do you go back? You go first to Makkah. Okay. So normally we do our journey. We say, okay, we're going to go from here, the airport, then we go to Medina, then Medina we come to Makkah, right? So we just keep in mind, you've been there before. How many times have you been to Umrah before? So. As when you reach the event?
20 years.
20 years ago. Oh, it's all different Makkah there. My mountains also. I'm telling you. Really, you know they have built up all this development there. But the Kaaba is still the same. The Kaaba is still in place, but everything else is changed, right? So, Alhamdulillah. So, let's take the journey the normal, usual way people go first to Medina and then to Makkah, right? But it will make a difference. So, let us say we're going to Medina. Let us pick up our journey from the airport here. Once we reach Medina Munawwara, or as we are going to Jeddah, and from Jeddah then we take a taxi or another plane to Medina, we must start building up the excitement in our heart that we are going to a very, very holy and the sacred city which Allah Ta'ala chose to be the final resting place of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What made Medina so pious or so virtuous? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came. The Sahaba say that Medina was a dark city, and the day when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set foot in Medina, it became brightened, it became illuminated. Like, you know, you put lights there. That's why it's called Munawwara. Munawwara means the illuminated city. So feel with your heart and search that noor and light of Medina. And when you are there, you will feel it. You won't notice it when you come back here to South Africa. Suddenly you find there's a darkness around you. Then you realize you came from a very, very illuminated city. But the much more heart is connected, the much more you seek and you look for, inshallah, we find it. Okay, now, the other thing is that as we are approaching Medina, whether we are taking a direct flight from here, or we're going to Jeddah by a plane, or we are going from Makkah after Umrah, whichever way, as we approach Medina, build up and read lots and lots and lots and lots of the rituals. Right, so that is what Medina is about, because we will be very soon standing very, very close, just a few meters away from the grave of our most beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's most beloved Nabi. We are talking about him. We used to hear about him. We read about him. In madrasa we used to read about his history. We used to hear stories about him. He was part of our kalima. We say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now we'll be standing very, very close, just a few meters away from Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So build up that enthusiasm, that greatness of the person and the sacredness and the virtue of the person, the importance of the visit itself, that, you know, if you get to opportunity to visit a very important person here, they say you are invited, I don't know who the important, I can't even choose the example of president, it's such a joke. So they say you're going to visit some, you know, important person, how won't you be prepared for the journey and dress up and doll up and focus all the time and make sure we reach in time there and all the rest of that. Even the meeting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, when we come to Medina, as we enter the city, it's a different feeling. It's a very big city now. It has grown quite a bit. And when you enter it, you'll see there are buildings and all the rest of that. So, don't worry about that. There are lots of high-rise hotels and that. Just like how we have here. That's not our object. Then from some point, you will see the tall minarets when you are up close. The very, very tall minarets, which are the landmark of Medina Munawwara. And then you will also spot the green dome from somewhere. The green dome is directly over the qabr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you see the green dome, know that I am now looking at the dome which is directly above the grave of my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In a way, like you already focus on the qabr. Once you set and check into your hotel, the first thing that you need to do is, depending what time you reach, to just get rest and to freshen up and put on nice clothes. Especially left from South Africa, by the time you are there, you are tired, you are sweaty, dusty also maybe, you know. So you must put on the best clothes. And then you have to make your way to the Masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now this is the important part. Because it is a salah time sometimes, you know, you were there before the Baqir. So you have an idea, right? So you also thought, you know, right? So what we are saying is that when you are going there, then plan yourself in such a manner that your first visit to the qabr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not interrupted in any way with another salah or anything like that. So for example, the time between Zuhar and Asr is short. The time between Asr and Maghrib is very, very long. The time between Maghrib to Isha is also short. And nowadays they keep it open also, but if you leave it open at night, you must know from which door to enter. All the doors are closed, you have to go right to the front, to the side. And then the door is open there on the right hand side. But this is after Isha. For the ladies, you have the ladies' side. It's good if someone who is there was there before, they can take you in. And have a different system for the ladies. So what you do is you have a ghusl, put on your best clothes, and for the men, you put on nice after everything. And then you go, give some sadaqah before you go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha najaytum ar-rasula faqaddimu bayna yaday najwaakum sadaqah. That all believers, and then we have private conversation with your Prophet and give some sadaqah before you go. So the sadaqah is to make Allah ta'ala happy and Allah will be very pleased. So even if you don't have someone to give it to, just take out the sadaqah one side, okay? You can give it, fine. Who to give a sadaqah to? That's such a big story. Some of the beggars, they own more property than us. I tell you. So, in any case, give it to the street cleaners. I think they're the best ones. They wear the yellow overalls, you know. They were just sleeping there. They are the poorest people that are most deserving. If not, just keep it one side and later on you can give it to them. Right. Now, when you enter the Masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then, the first thing you need to do is read two rakats of Nafil Salah. So, that is for any masjid, right? You read two rakats of Nafil Salah. If you can't read that for whatever reason, because maybe it's not the time, then the next thing you need to do, now coming to the mail, you must try and get into the what is called Rawdatul Jannah. No, Rawdatul Jannah is called Jannah Chapter 12. What they refer to as the white carpet. You walk right through. And until you come into the structure which is known as the Ottoman structure or the Turkish structure, which is different from the Saudi structure right in front, you know, the way that the masjid is built, you can see the design and all that right in the front, which is under. Once you are there, there is always a crowd that is waiting, but I believe at the moment the crowd is not so much. I don't know, before I can tell, I'm feeling all left, you want to the crowd. How's it going?
Not very big,
right? When you go inside, if it is the time to read Salah, right? You must try and get to the white castles. Now, not all the white castles. It was a bit sharp. You must go more to the front. And when you're going to the Qibla, try and picture this. You're going to the Qibla, you are on the white carpet. On your left hand side is this room. It has got the house and the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you come right to the front, there's a whole lot of Quran shelves there that form the barrier. So try and be in the first or second circle. Right? Closer to the room of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the left hand side. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the area between my house and my minbar is the garden from the gardens of Jannah. So if you look at the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes you go back, you actually must be about in the second or third circle. And always people are reading salat, but nobody sticks around it forever. People read namaz, make dua, and they move. So if you see somebody making dua, just stand behind it. Or somebody reading salat, just stand there if you don't get a place. Because just as you get up and go, then you get your chance. It's on continuously moving, you know. Some people are a bit more greedy, they sit a bit longer, so I think it could be greedy to go up. But they are a bit inconsiderate also sometimes, you know. They keep up there. So you just keep your eye and you see the fellow is just moving now, and you go and stand behind him and watch out to stand there. And while you are standing there, even if you're not reading namaz, you can start making a dua, because you're already in Jannah. Nabi Salaam didn't say you must read namaz in Jannah. You can make dua in Jannah. So you say, oh Allah, whatever your dua is. Now what I'm going to say about the dua is, before you go from here, try and build up a mental list of all your duas, starting with yourself, with your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then your ibadat and your Islam and your iman and your needs and your akhirat and your qabr and your jannah and your qiyamah, and then all your other worldly things, your family, your health, your financial, all those things. You must have a mental thing how you will make that. Because sometimes when you are there, you are in a state of excitement and then you give up half your du'as. What is it? Then write it in Jannah and you never ask what you want. When you are in Jannah, Katukra, you are in Jannah. It's not like some symbolic Jannah, you know. Some people say, you know, when for holidays there, I said, we'll put to Paradise Island. You know, Paradise Island. It's real Jannah. So, you know, it's not like real Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. That's why Medina is so valuable for two things. One is the Prophet and Nabi Jannah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is there in his room and he says from my house is Bari basically in Jannah. So now when we are there, we will ask whatever we have got. If you get a chance, read two rakats of Salah. Beg, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua for everyone, make dua for us, make dua for Middleburg, make dua for South Africa, we are living in the country. Make dua for the politicians, Allah must be there on the diet and understanding. And if they are running the country. And Allah must send a good condition, make dua for the rain, make dua for the drought constraint, make dua for the stuff, make dua for Iraq and Syria and Palestine and Rangoon and Burma and every Muslim you can think of. It's a very long dua, but make it in Jannah. When you are finished with that, you're talking now the ladies. The ladies, when they have got certain time, for example, after Fajr till before Zuhr, they barricade the area and the ladies come. Don't get into the crowd. Because I believe for the ladies, they call you country by country. Okay? While you are sitting there and waiting, you can make Durood Sharif all the time. And you can only start saying As-salamu alayhi wa sallam, doesn't matter. Or you do it in namaz. You get all kinds of professor ladies there who think you know too much also. So some will come and tell you, hey, you mustn't read namaz this way, and you mustn't read sijda. Just ignore them. You do what how you have been taught. Every country, every mazhab got their own way of thinking. Everyone is right. And we're not there to judge anybody. Nobody must judge us also. It's very important. Now, when they open up the area for the ladies, they call you in group by group, then you come in. Don't try and be too in the front also, because everybody else, there you can just get crushed. Doesn't matter what your size is, no matter how much of rugby you play, how much of action cricket you play here, there, they get to start one side. So go by the crowd, it's not so bad now, alhamdulillah. Keep yourself in control, and find a suitable spot where you won't be disturbed, because sometimes you sit and focus. But if you are sitting in the middle, people are walking past you, crossing you, you sit on one side and then you can focus. And when you come very close, you stand and make your salam. Right? And we'll tell you right. So I'll get back to the man again. When you finish your two rakat or finish your jannat katukra, you go to the front through the mihrab, still going towards the qibla, there's like a gate that you go through, and then you turn to the left. Because I told you the room of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on the left, the qibla is in the front. There's a group of people walking, a stream of people. I always say, watch out for the stream of people. You get carried with the current, you won't know next thing you're off to the masjid. So just avoid. they're walking, and they are very shortly going to be walking right past the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will know because you see the pictures, right? And that group does not stand. The police also don't let you stop. It's an ever-flowing group. You stop, the police will tell you to move. You can't stop because the people in the back will be pushing you. It's a current. So just try and go past that group and then find a spot away from that group, facing the room of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and facing his qabr. There's a huge ring there. You face that particular ring and then you say, Allahu malaikata wa sallam ala Nabi. And if you don't say it, it's also alright. Now you are facing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. Just be careful. Don't do it in a crowd because then you can't stand. You just take it away. Just move it away. So the police come straight away from the auto. Just walk, take a meter and come back again. You might just know how to do it. It's the same principle. Right. Then you imagine now you are looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's such a beautiful figure. You are right in front of him. You are just a few meters away from him, and you send your salam and say, "Assalamu alaykum, ya Rasulullah." Right. Or you can say, "Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah." "Assalamu alaykum, ya Nabi Allah." "Assalamu alaykum, ya Habib Allah." "Assalamu alaykum, ya Khair al-Khalqillah." Only in one way you can greet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you can say that as many times as you want to, let's say 70 times, it's going to take more or less. Each time you greet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a direct greeting. You greet you back. All other times you tell the people, "Give my salam to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam." You say, "Allahumma salli ala, Allah, you send durood on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You send salam." Yeah, you're saying direct. This is the greatest favor for this ummah. No other ummah got that opportunity and honor where they can stand by the grave of their Prophet and greet it. Talking directly to your Prophet, you're talking to your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You didn't get to talk to many important people in this world here. They are right near you. Yeah, you got to talk to your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? When you are finished with that, then you must also tell him that so and so and so and so sent salam to you. So whoever told you, right? And then you must also tell Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam he must intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah. When you are finished with that, then you move a few steps. The ladies, obviously, you're not in the front section. I make dua, they open up the edit for the ladies. You're missing out the time. Many years ago, the ladies also used to come there. In 1980-82, I remember, they used to open up the edit. So the ladies would come right in the front, but over the edit, they're with now. So, wherever you are done, you finish with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you make niyyah for Umar radiallahu anhu, you say, "Assalamu alayka ya Abu Bakr, as-siddiq." And you say, "Jazallahu," or if it's in English, "May Allah give you a befitting reward." As many times, you have to say, "Salam on him." When you finish with him, then you say to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When you finish with that, your salam is done. Now you must just move away a little bit, face the Qibla, pick up your hands and make dua again. Because dua made after greeting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is definitely accepted. Thank Allah ta'ala for granting you this opportunity. When you finish with that, then alhamdulillah, your salam is done. Now just remember where you enter from the row. If you want to go out again, you're not going to have your shoes with you. Some people keep their shoes on their back with those jackets, that is the jacket's good. Or if you just finish, you go back from where you came, but know when you enter the masjid where you left your shoes. Because most of the time people go back out and sit in some part of the masjid, they've got those little boxes there with the shoes, with the number on it, you know, 100 and 101. So you must just know where you left your shoes, okay? Just look at the landmarks when you enter the masjid. This is Medina, right? Now while you are in Medina for the rest of the few days, there is one very important hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever recites 40 namazas in my masjid, my intercession will become wajib on him. If you try and make 40 namaz, it's not a sin. It's not a sin. It's just that it's a virtue to try and make 40 namaz there. While you are also there, you can go for ziyarat, that is a different places. Like, you know, Mount Uhud, where the Battle of Uhud took place. You can go to Masjid al-Quba, which is the first masjid that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built, and just came to Medina, he himself built it. Obviously, it's no more that structure. That's another story that we replaced it with the old one. Then you go to Masjid al-Qiblatain, then you go to the well. So if you are going with somebody, normally they have a day allocated for ziyarat. So pay attention to Islamic history, and these are places that are linked to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to early history. So there is a virtue attached to it also. I'll make one khatam of the Quran while you are there, and in this way you finish your ziyarat in Medina. And when you're leaving Medina, and your last salam must be offered before you leave. You go back to the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You make your salam like how I taught you. And then you can also tell him, "I'm going away now." You know, and tell him to make dua that Allah must send you back again, nothing wrong. Very sad and very bitter experience at that point in time. That is now your ziyarat to Medina. And now those who came first to Medina, now we're going to Makkah, right? And those who went first to Makkah, let's pick up our journey from there. Inshallah, that's the Umrah. If you are going, you can say Makkah, if you are going from Medina to Makkah, you must put on your ihram. Right? Now you're going to make Umrah. That's what Medina is saying. Umrah is basically three things only. One is to put on your ihram. Two is mitzvah. And three is to make sa'i. Ihram, but only three things. So, when you're putting on your ihram from South Africa, you're going to Makkah first, ne? You guys?
You also. And you're going to Medina first.
You're going to Makkah first. So, how are you planning to do? You going to Baya? You going direct flight?
No, you can't
put my ihram in Jeddah.
I mean,
what you do is you put on your ihram, right? You put on your ihram, yes? Yeah? Okay. But you don't make niyat. So then you are in the right? So, you know how to put my ihram in, so, right? You put it on at the airport, and then you can even keep on your kurta. Alright, you just wear your towel, right? And then closer to your time to landing in Jeddah, you pull off your kurta, you put away your towel, you do it in the bathroom, okay? And then you are now there. Then you make your niyat. I'm going to explain the niyat just now to you. If you are in Medina, then you will put on your ihram in your hotel. There are two ways to do it. One is you read your two rakat, sunnatul ihram, and your niyat in your hotel. That's the one way. The other way is you put on your ihram and everything, and then you go and as you are leaving for Makkah, outside Medina, there is a place called Abyar Ali. Ali, you won't forget, thanks, man. Ali. Abyar Ali is called Zul Khulaifa. Right? There is a huge masjid with a lot of bathrooms and everything. So you may make your two rakats there, sunnatul ihram, but the niyat is not sunnatul, the niyat is wadi. It's a first major niyat there. Whichever way you choose. Okay? Whether you put on your ihram in your hotel or whether you put it on there. Or in this case, you put it on here. Right now, let me explain to you what is ihram. What do you understand by the word ihram? If you ask me what ihram, this is the two towels. Right? There's a towel, there's a uniform ihram. The word ihram means to put yourself in a state of prohibition, to make things haram on you. You can see ihram, by the closest of the root letters, haram, right? The things that are normally permissible become also not permissible, become haram for you now. And to go into that particular state, you have to make niyat that I'm now going to ihram. You have to be in a certain area. You can't be here also, there are problems. But also, when you make that niyat and when you put on the ihram, you have to have some kind of a symbol to show that you are in ihram. Females don't have the symbol, the males have the symbol. And the symbol is to put on two towels. When you put on the two towels, you are very conscious of what you're wearing, okay? And that makes you conscious of all the things that are prohibited on you. That's the first thing. The ladies got no towels in that way. They can wear all their normal clothes. I'll just tell you what are the things that are prohibited. They also can't do. They just can wear everything else in the world. Right? So, ihram, once you are in the state of ihram, these are the things that become prohibited on you. You cannot remove any hair, you cannot do shaving, you cannot cut any of the nails, you cannot wash your body with fragrant soap. That means you can wash normally. No fragrance allowed. Mask perfume is not allowed. Okay? You cannot have relations with your partner or anything that is in terms of language, whatever code language you have got for that. You cannot comb your hair because there's a possibility in ihram when you comb your hair, you will be pulling off. You know, normally you pull your hair, you brush your hair, you can pull off, so you must not do that. So do all that finish. Right? Attar, scent, all that you can't put. But before ihram, you can put all of it on. You can cut your hair, you can cut your nails, all of those things. Right? So once you put your, you make your ghusl, you put on your ihram, you can put attar on the time, not a problem. And you must read two rakat sunnah to the ihram. Look, I'm emphasizing with sunnah means it's not wajib. So for whatever reason, you could not read the two rakat, you are on the plane. So then you don't have to read it. You just make the niyat. Once you read your two rakat sunnah, you must keep your topi off your head. So once you finish making salam, or if you read the namaz, you take your topi off, or you When you make the salam, yeah, what about this? First rakat kul jahil kafirun, second rakat kul wallah. It's easy to remember, right? Sunnat al-Ihram. Easy to remember. And then you...
No, this is before you make an intention.
No, it's against the intention. What is the two rakat? Right? Now you can make the intention. When you make the salam, then you say, oh Allah, I am making niyat for umrah. There's a niyat happening now. Accept it from me, make it easy for me. Okay? Accept it from me, make it easy for me. Then you must read the labbaik. Must read it at least once and three times. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Learn the labbaik. Bizana, learn the labbaik. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. La sharika laka. Easy. I've been listening to it from the time it was. So it's not everything, right? You read the labbaik. You have to read the labbaik. What's your niyat? Must you read your niyat? Oh Allah, making it from right. You're now in the state of Islam. Okay? From now all the prohibitions apply on you. Now you are going to Makkah. You're now going to Makkah. On the way, if it's a long trip, you know, you can get very irritated with different people, passengers, and everybody else. Unless you're part of the Ihram. You must not fala rafata wa la fuzuqa. Don't argue, don't fight, don't quarrel. Just make trouble because that's part of the Ihram. What you can do in Ihram? In Ihram, you can take a shower if you feel very hot. Assuming you reach Makkah, you're very tired. Or you put in your Ihram, you couldn't leave Medina for whatever reason. And you've got a delay. And you need to have a shower again because it's very hot. You take off your two towels, your Ihram is not broken. Okay? The towel was messed up. You're drinking cold drink and a whole lot of things messed up. You change your Ihram. You buy another set of towels. You're not out of the Ihram, you've never taken a new niyyah. Ihram is a state of you're going into through niyyah. Now you are leaving for Makkah. Either you're coming with your plane or you're coming with the taxi. Now you're approaching Makkah, Mukarrama, which I gave you the verses of the greatest city on the face of the earth. Right? And this is where it all starts. From. Makkah is the starting place of this world. Once you reach your hotel, okay, there are some du'as where you can start, you can read it. Not when you enter in Makkah. Just make the du'a, Allah, I'm entering Makkah, let me fulfill the right. Increase the greatness of Makkah, increase the respect of Makkah in my heart and so forth. Right? If for some reason the ladies are not in a state of purity, they are doing their monthlies, you must still make your niyat, okay? And you must still, you go to your namaz now, you're still going to Ihram. Okay? When you reach your hotel, you can't go into the masjid, you can't make tawaf, you can't do anything. Till when you become park, then you make a ghusl and then you make the two rakat. Then you can go make a tawaf, you don't need to do that. Okay, ladies, so what happens is when you become part, then you make your tawaf at that time. So you have to upset yourself about it to send us all the qualities. Right. So now we know how to put an Ihram or an Ihram. We're going to the masjid now. Now, when we come now, we come to Makkah, we're in the hotel now. This is everything. Part of them right to the text, get a long walk. It's not fast, you can see it off of the daily.
That was off.
So that's in Master Charlie,
where you? Well,
the hotel, there's no nearby. Okay, right. First, I'm just explaining how you come walking. If you are going for the first time, or this is your first trip, you can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the dua of the person who, when you see the Kaaba the first time. So it's very exciting. When you're in a hotel, if you reach it at all times, don't rush to go into the haram. Don't rush. You must give yourself sufficient time to go and make tawaf as well as sa'i. It's not in between two namazes where there is a long stretch. So maybe between, for example, between Fajr and Zuhr, or after Isha. Right? You can make it between Zuhr and Asr, but you must know your ropes there. You can do it, it's not like that. You can make your tawaf as well as your sa'i. Right? Not a problem. Very short time to do it. You make up in the early time. And plus it's going coming to winter, so the days are already small. Either way. Now, once you are ready, fresh, make to do everything. And then inshallah the person who has been there before, he will lead you to the haram, inshallah, and you will enter. Those who are being first time, don't try and look up, try and look down. If your gaze load is a reason for that, it's not for the companion to do. It's just to build up your excitement for you. So as you enter the haram, if your gaze low, until your guide will tell you now, you must stand at such a place where you are not interrupted. So they are still walking around. Then you lift up your gaze and you see the Kaaba for the first time. That is the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful feeling in your life. You know, you can watch it there on TV and see the pictures. The Kaaba is different from the one you see in real life. It is different because it's in the real thing, there's real love coming down there. And you are now in that area. You said when you are in the state of Tawaf and you're around the Kaaba, you are basically walking in a rain of nur that is descending at any given time. So once you see the Kaaba, make a dua from your heart. Now, by now, you must be doing the duas of the heart because you started in Medina and you started to pray. You're doing so many duas, so many duas. Now you repeat all those duas here again. Enjoy the vision. Look at the Kaaba. Don't be in a hurry. And when you are finished and when you are ready, then you must do first. The Ihram is done. Now you go for the second thing, and that is the dua. Dua is basically like how we have 4 rakats and 2 rakats, it is 7. Around the Kaaba. Tawaf means to circumambulate or to walk in a circular motion around the Kaaba. That's called Tawaf. Tawaf is a specific ibadah that is only specific to the Kaaba. You can't commit Tawaf in any other place. You can make Tawaf of grave, you can make Tawaf of the other masjid, you can make a Tawaf anywhere else. Tawaf is only the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when you're starting with Tawaf, look at the model of my Kaaba, when you're starting with Tawaf, you must stand on the side, on the corner where the black stone is, which is known as the Hajar al-Aswad. But don't go too close to the Kaaba where there's a crowd of people, like it's before the current. Stand away from the crowd at the corner of the Hajar al-Aswad. For those who are going the first time, the corner of the Hajar al-Aswad is the corner closest to the door of the Kaaba. You see the door of the Kaaba, you know how it looks. Three sides, there's no door, on the one side is the door. And the distance between the black stone and the Kaaba's door is about 3 people can stand there. So it's maybe about 2 meters. And the 3 people can stand there, let's say 2 feet. Right? Don't stand directly in line with the black stone. Now you're facing the Kaaba, you have to make niyat. Now Tawaf has got 3 things. One is niyat. Number 2 is the Tawaf itself. Number 3 is the Wajibut Tawaf. So you have to do 3 things now, right? First is the Niyat. How do you make your Niyat? Remember, if you start your Tawaf without Niyat, it's no Tawaf. You stand just a few steps away, facing the Kaaba, a few steps away from the Hajar al-Aswad. Now, how many steps? Not away, it's very far from it. Keep the Hajar al-Aswad on the right side of your shoulder. That will be on the left of you, just 3 steps away. And you make niyyah. This is what you must make. Oh Allah, I am making niyyah of Tawaf, of your house. How many rounds? 7 rounds. Make it easy for me, accept it for me. Again, I'm going to repeat the niyyah. Oh Allah, I'm making niyyah of Tawaf, of your house, 7 rounds. Make it easy for me, accept it for me. Now you move to your right till you are straight in line. Let's go back again. Make niyat. Oh Allah, I'm making niyat of your house 7 rounds. Make it easy. Then you say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Pick your hands up to your ear and drop it down. This is like how you start namaz, make takbir tahrimah. Pick your hand up and you drop it down. It's only when you start. Okay? Then you make your 3 steps. Then you're directly in line with the black stone. So you won't be too directly to say that, but you'll find it. But don't go and stand on that side of it, because then your Tawaf is already 2 or 3 steps short. That's why you start on this side. And then you make istilam. What is istilam? You kiss the black stone. On your first trip, when you're in Ihram, don't even think of touching it, okay? Because after all, you're going to violate your Ihram. Right? You don't. What you do, istilam means to kiss the black stone by sign and by gesture. You spread your hands out in the direction, you're still facing the Kaaba, as though you're placing it on the black stone. You kiss your palm. Spread it out, face your palms to the black stone. Then you say, Bismillah, Allah. Then you turn away. from the Kaaba and you go join the crowd. And now you will walk in this position that the Kaaba will be on your left at all times. In for the men, when you are in the state of Ihram, take your the towel over. Take the right flap of your towel under your armpit of your right hand and throw it over here, which means your shoulder will now be exposed. Your shoulder will now be exposed. So you throw it over like that. Done. Now, you start with your tawaf. What to read in tawaf? In tawaf, you don't have to read with a book in your hand. You just know what tawaf is about. It doesn't walk around the book. Nobody's there. Even Sahabah. You read to glorify Allah. So you read the third kalima. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la ilaha illallah. You read the fourth kalima. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. You read la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You read to the sharif. You read 99 names of Allah. Anything about the greatness of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you start walking. Don't face your chest to the Kaaba while you are walking. Don't face your chest. If you face your chest, so many steps must take back again. It's not allowed to face. Right? You walk, you will pass the Maqam Ibrahim. Maqam Ibrahim is a huge, like a golden bottle, you know, that is directly opposite, not directly opposite, opposite the door of the Kaaba. You can go on this side of it and this side of it, doesn't make it a Kaaba, but that's from very people. And you walk around it and you come to the other side of the Kaaba, which is now called the Hatim side. There is a high wall there. Like a horseshoe shape around the wall. And when you are directly in the center of that wall, you look at the cover. You can look at the cover, but don't face your helmet. But yeah, you can do like that. You will see the golden gutter, which is called the Mizabi Rahma, the golden gutter. You must sit there. Rabbi Kini Azabaka, you must have a Sayyidatika. You remember. Oh Allah, save me. Give me Azab on the day you resurrect the servant. Okay? If you don't know how I said it, just make dua. You finish, pass that. You come to the second last corner of the Kaaba, which is called Rukni Yamani. Right? And so Rukni Yamani, you're going to come back to the first corner now where you started off. And when you are there, you will not forget because everybody starts to be loudly there. But that dua is for that area. So then you come back to the Hajar al-Aswad. When you come back to the Hajar al-Aswad, your one round is finished. Please keep in mind that you must take with you your tawaf tasbih because you can lose count sometimes. If you count your fingers, it's very good if you know how to count, but rather keep the tawaf tasbih 7 beads. When you come there, you pull 1 bead. Each of us have their own. Don't leave it to my husband or count for me, or wife will count. Sometimes you want to get lost, and then they don't know who's keeping count, and it makes it problematic. So, normally you don't get lost. Tawaf, Murat and Numari gets lost. That's your first round is finished. When you come here, you place your hands in the direction of the Kaaba. You don't you carry on walking. You just say Bismillah, Allah Akbar. Again, you kiss it. It's called Istilam. And there's the second time. And you do the same thing. Ra'al Maqam Ibrahim, Ra'an the Hatim, Ra'an Rukni Amani, second. Then the third time. Then the fourth, fourth, fifth, seventh. When you finish the seventh time, your tawaf is now complete. You can make one more Istilam. It must start to make the eighth one, right? Yeah. If you don't make it, the time is not a problem. So the second thing is done. You made niyat and you make tawaf. Now, the tawaf is not complete until such a time that you don't read two rakats wajibut tawaf. Look at the word wajib. Wajib means what? Have to do it, okay? So if you don't do the wajibut tawaf, the tawaf is incomplete. But according to us, if you don't read any namaz after, if you read the tawaf after Asr, you must read these two rakats after Maghrib first, after the first namaz. Just remember this, okay? Before you read sunnah of your Maghrib, after the first. And if you're making a tawaf any other time, then it's not a problem. Right. What you read in wajib with tawaf, same thing. Qul ya al-kafirun and qul huwa Allah. Now, when you finish reading two rakats, now your tawaf is complete. Then you pick up your hand. And you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you want. Now where must you read these two rakats? Anywhere at a convenient place. So before you start your tawaf, if you are in a group, for example, and say, okay, we finish, we will all meet here. The namaz will all meet at the spot. So when you enter the place, know where you keep your shoes. And sometimes we also accept it. You know, there's the tawaf thing there. Some people are so disoriented. When they finish, you don't know from where they entered and from where they're going out. You know, it's so tough. Know where you left your shoes. Always when you enter, don't get excited. Take in the scene around you, take in the landmarks. You say, okay, we enter from here. Abu Aziz, for example, Turkish color gate or gold color gate or white. Everyone you enter from, you enter from the eastern side. Where you enter. No, when you enter, this you enter this side, so this side of the Kaaba. Take in your this thing, the surrounding, especially your first time. You can get so mixed up. Right. So your tawaf is now finished. Last thing to do. Last thing to do is to go and make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Safa and Marwa. Marwa is Safa and Marwa. Safa is where you start in Marwa. So it's a little walk from there. In the Masjid area. And there are boards that will say Mas'a. Meen, Sin, Alif, Ya, and it's written in English also, Masa. 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 Masa means the place to run. Okay? So you will go to that area. Once you come to the Safa Marwa, if you get lost, you can ask somebody, but there are enough times you can't get lost. You will climb slightly uphill to the hill. That is the Mount of Safa. And when you there, you must say the Kaaba and you must take niyat. What is your niyat going to be now? The niyat is, oh Allah, I am making niyat for sa'i. The thing is called sa'i, what is in the Rubik's Safara. Sa'i. Sa'i, or I will be running, I'm making it running or walking between Safa and Marwa, accept it from me and make it easy for me. Read the Ruj Sharif. And also, before you start, say the Kaaba. Sometimes from there where you are standing, you do get a view of the Kaaba. In the pillars and the things you know, the story. Now, is that fine? Just sit down there. But now, you make your dua again. Make a dua before you start. When you are finished with the dua, oh yeah, just don't forget the man when you are reading a while with tawaf to take the thing and cover your shoulder again. Okay, you know, yeah, you open up your shoulder, cover it up, right? Everything will be covered now, right? Now, you are going to start your walk with Safa and Marwa. This walk here is in commemoration of our mother, the Hajra alayhi salam, when she was looking for water for her son Ismail alayhi salam. She ran between Safa and Marwa, which are two mountains. Here there are no more mountains left. It's beautifully styled and air conditioned. The only sign of the mountain when you start at Safa is a few rocks. It's also styled. You know, this place is climb on top. Nicely they've covered the glass, or they've covered over the glass, the rock. It's just a symbol to show the mountain is here. She was looking for water for her to her son Ismail alayhi salam. So she was running from Safa. But I imagine a mother left all alone in the desert of Makkah and there's no water and she's looking for. And she left the child. Ismail alayhi salam was lying there next to the Kaaba, just there near the Kaaba. And she was here running up in order for water. Allah loved this action of her so much because she had carried out this journey in the love of Allah. Let me part of our Umrah. So, start walking. What to read? Anything. You don't have to read anything, it's not a problem. If they ask them to ask to read, or just make that clear. Make any zikr that you want to. When you leave Safa, not very far from there, you will come to what is known as the green zone, the green column. That is green fluorescence running the entire length of the wall, across the ceiling, right onto the other side. It's a 5 miles long passage from here to there, you can see. At this point will come. Green fluorescent here, and a few steps again, a few meters, green fluorescent. In that area, the men must quicken their pace. I just run a little bit. Because our mother, when she was looking for water, and she came there, that was the area of the valley of the mountains, between the mountains, where she could not see her son. So there she was running quickly, so she can start climbing again, so that she can see her son. So it was basically, even when you are in Nasr Valley, you can't see. It's very scary. So you must quicken your pace there. The ladies don't have to do that. So then try it. If you are with the head of them, you just wait for them. They'll help you and after you. Alright? You carry on walking. So you started at Safa, you will reach Marwa. It's a nice long walk. That is one round done. Once you reach Marwa, it's again a slight ascent. You have to climb up. And then you face the Kaaba again. A short dua. And now from Marwa back to Safa. On your way back again, as you are closer to Safa, you will pass the green columns again. The two areas, you must run between that until you come to Safa, the two diamonds. Climb on top. Down again. Marwa. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Where you started? You started at Safa. You're 7 on at Marwa, okay? You started at Safa. The 7th one will be in Marwa. And one round is from here to there. It's one round and you come back to 2 rounds again. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So now when you reach there, Marwa, your Sa'i is finished. Basically, the Tawaf is done. Go, go. Now you go back to the hotel. On the way, normally you find those powers to do for you to cut your hair. And he said last week, there's 3 du'as for those people who shave their hair. And he gave 1 du'a for those who clip the hair, both permissible. You decide which du'a you want, making it near. Right? And for the ladies, you can just take 1 corner of your hair. And you just cut it off and you cut it. And you can do it yourself, you can ask someone to do it, you can ask your husband to do it. Just a small edge of your hair. On your small finger, spread it around and take a scissor and snip it off. Okay, so probably you are supposed to have a scissor with you. Don't carry any scissors in your hand luggage, they will confiscate it at the airport. So they're scared you can hijack a plane with small scissors. You know? So now you're the thing is done. Now, just one thing to keep in mind that when you are in Mecca, you can go make another Umrah if you want to. And some people do a 1 umrah every day because of energy. You take a taxi, it takes about 10 riyals, and you go to Tan'im, which is called Masjid Aisha, but you put on Ihram exactly as you did here. You go there, you read a surah, Qaswadi, you go out there, and then you come back again with the same taxi or another one. There's small coasters of the up and down. Taxi, that's very easy. You take a taxi, take the coasters, just behind Hilton. Behind Hilton, you find the taxi going to umrah. And they get full very quickly. Once you reach there, these 2 rakats, there are a lot of waiting to come back to come back to here. You make your umrah in the same way, okay? You want to make umrah. And if you can't manage umrah, it's also understood, then don't do that. Rather make more tawaf than umrah. Use your energy. So how we start the tawaf? Only now in your tawaf, there will be a sa'i. Only when you made umrah, your first entry into Makkah with your tawaf, there is a sa'i. After that, every other tawaf that you make is no sa'i, it's only tawaf. So 7 times you make these 2 rakats of namaz, 7 times you make 2 rakats. So between namazes, choose your time, make your program, set your schedule, what time you're going to have lunch, what time you're going to have breakfast, what time you're going to be here, what time you're going to haram. And they say, inshallah, riyal is 4 riyals. 4 rents of the riyal. Whatever you're going to buy there is 7 kg, 4 students. We reveal everything, yeah. So spend your time more in doing all the ibadat. You know, there's sawab just to sit and look at the Kaaba. You've got nothing else to do, you are tired, you read also enough, you can't make namaz, just sit and look at the Kaaba. There's a nur that is coming from the Kaaba, and the Allah says Allah Ta'ala sent down 120 blessings on the Kaaba, out of the 60 for the people who make tawab, 40 for the people who make Salah, and 20 for the people who just sit and look at the Kaaba. Be careful when you are there also in your groups of people. People tend to make ghibat. They start passing remarks, they start talking and humiliating or taunting or, you know, mocking at people around there, getting angry. Oh, you can get very angry with the people there who don't know how to discipline themselves. They just push you away. You just necessarily get angry. Just keep quiet. They will, you know, start doing things according to the rules. That's how it is. Just keep your cool. Don't get upset. So you're all kinds of people, and they would know, especially on the ladies' side, so don't judge anybody. You know, ladies in that part of the country don't know whatever it is, you know, I'm talking about. You're not there for all of that. And inshallah, Allah takes care of you. Any questions? Any questions?
Remember your last tawaf?
Oh yeah, last tawaf. When you are leaving from Makkah and coming back, either going to Medina and leaving Makkah or come back home, it's called tawaful wida, which basically is a wajib. Okay, it's not the wajib, or hajj time is wajib, but you must take the class. Umrah time is wajib. But that's your tawaful wida, your farewell tawaf, which you must make closest to your last stay in Mecca. So, for example, if your bus is leaving, say after Fajr is in Anakos, after Fajr you can make it, right? So, try and make it closer to your departure time. Now, if you are only leaving tomorrow and you go make it to the after Fajr, it doesn't make sense. Make it closer to your departure time. In the same way, and you cry and you tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please bring me back again and again and again. You take a few steps backwards and you're looking at it and you walk away. It's just etiquette of a person who is looking at his beloved and you look at the Kaaba in your heart, you cry and your eyes also you cry and ask Allah ta'ala, begging, please Allah bring me back to this place again. And they say, inshallah, your Allah will bring you back to this. Don't forget to make dua when you are around there. And you are making tawaf.